Okay, good morning, everybody. Again, Erev Shabbos. Welcome back to our Erev Shabbos Kodesh class learning. I still say that Rivka Fuchs is our host. Rivka and Mr. Fuchs and family are our hosts and hostesses, and we greatly appreciate your dedication to the Shiur. But Ezra Sashem, Rivka, we look forward to the day when we could be back learning Torah together, preferably in Yerushalayim, if not in your home, but Ezra Sashem, in good health for all. Amen, amen. We also have a special dedication with Rivka's kind permission. We have a dedication by Dina Fried and her family. She has three Aliyah Neshamas actually this weekend. Today, Lilui Nishmas, Yurtzeit is today, David Ben Zalman. Yurtzeit is tomorrow, Mindel Bas Yochanan. Yurtzeit is Tuesday, Chaya Bas Moshe Shimon. All three Neshamas should have Aliyos in the merit of this Torah learning, as well as a schus for Hatinok, David Mordechai ben Bela Rivka, for a schus Rafua Shalema Besoch Sha'ar Cholei Yisrael. We should hear Simchas and Besoros Tovos for all of Klal Yisrael. So let us learn, please. I just posted, I'm sorry it was last minute, but if you have your phone in front of you, you could go back to the WhatsApp group if you prefer to see the Sefer inside. I did just post, I'm sorry, I forgot to do it in advance. Try and remember everything and be very organized. I just posted the pages that we're going to be looking at on the Shabbos Kodesh WhatsApp group. Otherwise, I read everything and I explain and I expound. So if you prefer to just listen, that's fine as well. Okay, last time we spoke about two times ago we spoke about Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef is Mechayiv the Rasha'im. Fascinating Gemara Maseches Yumah, if you recall. It was pretty amazing. Hillel HaTzadik is Mechayiv the Poor. He climbed up to the roof, etc. Yosef is Mechayiv the Rasha'im. Last time, that was 2 times ago, last time we spoke about the cave of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and the man with two twigs. I was very excited. I hope you were also. Now we are going on into the Sefer. So we're on page 24 in the middle of the Sefer, getting ready. Okay, so getting ready. Today is Erev Shabbos, and on Erev Shabbos, what we do is we get ready for Shabbos. And here he's going to address, Rav Shimshon Pinkus is just going to address, this idea of getting ready for Shabbos. There's a practical way to merit the Kedusha, the holiness of Shabbos. All we need to do is welcome Shabbos when it arrives and give Shabbos a proper greeting. Imagine a guest comes to your home. We had the mashal a few months ago, if you will, about the grandparents come to the house and no one's ready for them. So you have an important guest who comes to your house and you don't give a proper greeting. You're running around, you're doing this, you're doing that, you can't say hello, you don't say, do you want a drink? There's no proper greeting at all, but it's such an important guest. Is that how we all know that if you have a truly important basar v'dam guest coming to your house, you would make sure to be ready. You would make sure to stand up. You would be in your proper time. I mean, just think about what I'm saying. If you have an important dignitary coming to your house, you would truly greet them in the proper way. So how come when Shabbos comes, we often don't do that? Says Rav Shimshon Pinkus, our problem is when Shabbos arrives, we're usually not ready. We're still rushing about. We're doing last minute things. As much as we try to be ready on time, it often, I'm adding the word often, it doesn't work. Well, Pinkus doesn't even have the word often. He just says, as much as we try to be ready on time, it does not work. Why is it so hard to be ready to greet Shabbos when Shabbos comes? So here what Rav Shimshon Pinkus is really talking about is the idea of Erev Shabbos, which he's going to go into. Not Shabbos itself, not how we behave on Shabbos at the Shabbos table. Not if we're putting on our shetel. I know someone reached out to me and said she was going to take that upon herself as well, to greet the Shabbos. Not if we have a smiras and dvarei Torah. Not what the topic of the Shabbos table is, but this is talking about how is our behavior on Erev Shabbos and something that we all have to do a cheshvan nefesh. I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to Michal Haaretz, something that I still struggle with. Rav Shimshon Pinkus isn't only talking to me, he's talking to the Welt. As much as we try to be ready on time, says Rav Pinkus, it doesn't work. Why on Erev Shabbos are we so busy with our last minute things? You know Shabbos is coming. You know it's not a surprise guest. Okay, I understand if you have a surprise dignitary who taka showed up at your house, you might not be ready. You might not be dressed appropriately. Your table might not be set. The meal might not be ready because you didn't know that the guest was coming. You could say, please, next time, could your advisors give me some advance notice? But everybody knows Shabbos is coming. So why is it so hard to be ready to greet the Shabbos when it comes? This is not just a matter, says Rav Pinkus, of time mismanagement. There is a spiritual reason as well. A person can begin early in the morning and barely make it at the last minute. And this is true, by the way. I don't know if you've ever found this, but it could be true in the winter when Shabbos is at 4:10, and it could be 4:12, and it could be true in the summer when Shabbos is at 8:15. So there's a 4-hour spread there. So how come when Shabbos is at 8:10, you're still rushing? So Rav Shimshon Pinkas says there's a spiritual reason, which is very interesting. I want to quote from Rav Soloveitchik, okay? This is actually in the Sefer called Soloveitchik on Repentance. But there's a footnote in this chapter, which is called The Power of Confession, Power of Vidui. There's a footnote where he speaks about an Erev Shabbos Jew. Not a Shabbos Jew, an Erev Shabbos Jew. I just want to unlock the call. 1 second, please.
The meeting is locked. The meeting has been unlocked.
Okay, I just wanted to unlock the call 8 minutes in case people were trying to get in 7 minutes in. I didn't want them to get locked out. Listen to this powerful piece. Rav Soloveitchik says, allow me please to make a private confession concerning a matter that has caused me much loss of sleep. So you have to ask yourselves, what do I lose sleep over? Rav Soloveitchik says to him, this has caused him much loss of sleep. I am not so very old, yet I remember a time when 90% of world Jewry were observant. Halavai, halavai. He says, I remember a time when 90% of world Jewry were observant, and the secularists were a small minority at the fringes of the camp. I still remember today, unfortunately, I don't know if anybody saw of Rabbi Lopian's piece in the Shavuos edition of Mishpacha about when Mashiach will come and what we're really longing for. If you did not see it, Rav Aryan Lopiansky, what did I say, Lopian? What am I saying? Okay, Rav Lopiansky's piece in Mishpacha, in the Shavuos Mishpacha, about yearning for Mashiach and what we're really yearning for. If you didn't see it, I highly, highly recommend it. But one of the things he points out is how secular Jewry is today, that we don't realize, because of Baruch Hashem of our frum enclaves, we don't realize that the vast majority of Jews today are not observant, are not Shomer Shabbos, have no association with Yom Kippur. The vast majority are in fact assimilated and very secular. Going back to Rav Soloveitchik, allow me please to make a private confession concerning a matter that has caused me much loss of sleep. I am not so very old, says the Rav, yet I remember a time when 90% of world Jewry were observant, and the secularists were a small minority. They were the fringes of the camp. I still remember, and it was not so long ago, when Jews were still close to God, and they lived in an atmosphere pervaded with holiness. But today, says Rav Soloveitchik, what do we see? The profane, the secular, they are in control wherever we turn. Even in those neighborhoods made up predominantly of religious Jews, one can no longer talk of the sanctity, the Kedusha of Shabbos. True, there are Jews in America who observe Shabbos. The label Shabbos observer, Shomer Shabbos, we spoke about that, by the way, a few months ago, has come to be used as a title of honor in our circles. Listen to this very harif line. Just like Harav HaGaon. He says that today, the word Shmir Shabbos, Shomer Shabbos, is thrown around with such a lack of appreciation for what the term really means. Just like he compares it to the term Harav HaGaon. Neither term today really indicates anything. And both testify to the lowly state of our generation. We're so used to saying Shomer Shabbos, Shmir Shabbos, Harav HaGaon. We don't really appreciate what those titles are supposed to mean, what that honorific is supposed to mean. And therefore neither really indicates anything. And both Shomer Shabbos today and Harav HaGaon testify to the lowly state of our generation. But, listen carefully, says Rav Soloveitchik, it is not for Shabbos that my heart aches, because yes, we are Shomer Shabbos still in our camp. It is for the forgotten Erev Shabbos. It is not for Shabbos that my heart aches, says the Rav. It's for the forgotten Erev Shabbos. There are Shabbos observing Jews in America. He grew up in Europe, and he grew up, he says a piece where he speaks about spending nights debating difficult passages in the Talmud with Rav Baruch Berlavovich of Kamenetz. He speaks about debating with Rav Shimon Shkop. He talks about learning with his grandfather, Rav Chaim Brisker. He says, I saw the Gedolim, the giants of European Torah Jewry before the war, in a different piece. So what does he say? It is true there are Shabbos observing Jews in America, but there are not Erev Shabbos Jews. There are not Jews who go to greet Shabbos with beating hearts and pulsating souls. There are many who observe the mitzvos with their hands, with their feet, with their mouths, but there are few indeed who truly know the meaning of the service of the heart. Very powerful piece. So the question is, how do we usher in our Shabbos? What are we doing in the last 2 hours before Shabbos? According to the Rav, we should probably say, what are we doing the whole day of Shabbos? What are we busy with? Do we begrudgingly turn off our phones? I'm not giving you Musar, I'm giving myself Musar. Do we begrudgingly turn off our phones close to Shabbos, can check the last final WhatsApps and the last final text? Yes, I am Shomer Shabbos. Because in America, even though, says the Rav, today 90% of Jews are secular, and we are on the fringe, the Shomer Shabbos Jews, whereas it used to be the Shomer Shabbos Jews, he remembers, were the minority. And the secularists, the Enlightenment, was the fringe. Today, unfortunately, that has turned around. Today, we're on the fringe, and they're on the mainstay. Again, go get Rav Lopiansky's article from Shavuos Mishpacha. I'm happy to send you the link if you do not have access to it. It's called Sometimes Waiting for Mashiach Isn't Enough. I highly recommend that everybody read it. I will be happy to send you the link. He speaks about the idea of how many Jews are secular. But Rav Soloveitchik says, okay, so Jews today in America do observe the Shabbos. But the term Shomer Shabbos does not really indicate anything and testifies to the lowly state of our generation. Because if anybody remembers, we spoke about the term Shomer Shabbos a long time ago. Arya, please close the door. Thank you. We spoke about it. It's in Perek Lamed Aleph of the book of Shmos, V'shamu b'nei Yisrael sa Shabbos. And one of the interpretations of the Or HaChaim HaKadosh is that to be Shomer Shabbos is to anticipate, to long, to wait for Shabbos. We spoke about it at the time. Baruch Chaim quotes the pasuk from Perek Lamed Zayin of Bereishis vis-a-vis Yaakov Avinu, waiting to see Yosef's dreams come to fruition. But Aviv Shamar as Hadavar, his father waited for the day when it would come true. So the Baruch Chaim says Aviv Shamar as Hadavar doesn't mean his father Yaakov guarded the matter of Yosef's dreams of success. He waited for the day. He anticipated. He was ready for when that day would come. So the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh says, it's Shemos Perek Lamed Aleph V'Shamu B'nei Yisrael Shabbos. The Aruch Chaim HaKadosh says, what does it mean to be Shomer Shabbos? It means to anticipate, to wait for, to be ready for, to be excited about Shabbos. Never mind the Shmir Shabbos, actually on Shabbos Kosh. We try not to do Tochem, we try not to do Borer, we say the Tefillos in a timely fashion, we sing Zmiros, we say the Torah, we dress for Shabbos. But what about Rav Shimshon Pinkas is saying here in our Sefer? Why is it so hard to be ready for Shabbos? It's not just time mismanagement. There is a spiritual lacking. There's something spiritual going on. And relating to this piece by Rav Soloveitchik, again, this is Soloveitchik on Repentance, page 88 in the footnote. True, there are Jews who observe the Shabbos today, but it's not for Shabbos that my heart aches. It's for the forgotten Erev Shabbos. There are Shabbos observing Jews in America, but what about the Erev Shabbos Jews who go out to greet the Shabbos with beating hearts and pulsating souls? What is our behavior like on Yom HaShishi? Never mind Yom HaShvi. There are many who observe the mitzvos with their hands, with their feet, with their mouths, but there are few indeed who truly know the meaning of the service of the heart. He continues on. It's a one more paragraph, a beautiful piece. For purposes of our class, that's all I wanted to quote. But I think that it's very relevant, and it's Musar, I'm not for you. It's Musar for me. It's something that we all, maybe not you, it's something that I have to work on. My behavior, my attitude, my anticipation, my excitement on Yom HaShishi. That's part of being Shomer Shabbos, says the Or HaChaim. Part of being a Shomer Shabbos Yid is not how you act on Yom HaShvi, it's how you act on Yom HaShishi. Going back to Rav Shimshon Pinkas. This is not just a matter of time mismanagement. There's a spiritual reason for it. A person can begin early in the morning and still barely make it to the last minute. Something strange is going on here. So we already quoted one idea from Rav Soloveitchik related to the Or HaChaim, related to Yaakov Avinu, Shamar as Hadavar. Top of page 25. Again, if you just joined Shia, I did post the pages on the Shabbos Kodesh class group. I know it was very last minute. I'm sorry, but you're welcome. I forgot. I apologize. I try and be very organized. You can go back and you can open it up right now. Top of page 25. It is written in Torah sources that all the forces of evil that plague us all week, this is extremely interesting, disappear on Shabbos. So Rav Shimshon Pinkas gives a different reason for why we are not ready when Shabbos comes in. Why is your Erev Shabbos so rushed? Whether Shabbos is at 4:10 or at 8:10. Excuse me. It is written in Torah sources that all the forces of evil that plague us all week disappear on Shabbos. Very interesting. The Yetzer Hara knows it is about to be put out of commission. For 24 hours, the Yetzer Hara is off duty. I found this very interesting. I don't know. I find I still have a Yetzer Hara on Shabbos. But, okay, I'm not sure. This gives me hope. But the Yetzer Hara is banished on Shabbos. It's going to be put out of commission. It's going to be banished for 24 hours. Therefore, it's like the last hurrah on Yom HaShishi. It works so hard on the Erev Shabbos. It makes an extra effort before Shabbos begins to make us crazy, to make us rush, to make us hairy, to make us not Erev Shabbos Jews, because it knows it can't work for 24, 25, 26 hours on Shabbos itself. This effort generates many obstacles and delays. So if you feel your Yetzer Hara is stronger on Erev Shabbos, it's not your imagination, whether it's your Yetzer Hara for not being as good in Bein Adam Chaver, if the little children are getting in your way and you find your patience is short, if it's your Yetzer Hara for checking your phone more, if it's your Yetzer Hara for not being ready and not preparing in advance, it's not your imagination. Well, I should say it's not my imagination. The Yetzer Hara works overtime on Yom HaShishi because Torah sources tell us, Mr. Pinkas, and on Yom HaShvi'i, he also is Shabbat. Isn't that interesting? You're in a state of cessation of work. Shabbat means to cease. Guess who else is in a state of cessation from his work? The Yetzer Hara, and therefore he works extra hard. He makes an extra effort. So what does that mean? It means we have to double our efforts on Yom HaShishi. It means we have to step up to the plate and work even harder to combat the extra strength of the Yetzer Hara on Friday, on Yom HaShishi, on the Erev Shabbos. We need to put our spirits as our salvation back into being an Erev Shabbos Jew. This effort generates many obstacles and delays on our path as we are trying to properly prepare for Shabbos. So it's really the Yetzer Hara who comes out in full force to make sure we are not Shamar Es Hadavar. I want to quote an amazing teaching. I'm quoting from a sefer called Portraits of Prayer by Rabbi Eliezer El Abish. Okay? Here we go. Unbelievable. He quotes from Binyamin Finkel. Binyamin Finkel is the son of the Mir Mashgiach, Rav Aryeh Finkel. Rav Binyamin Finkel is popularly referred to as Rav Binyamin HaTzadik. So this Rav Binyamin HaTzadik, Rav Binyamin Finkel pointed out, listen carefully, this is very powerful. The Yetzer Hara is really just a two-trick pony. Two tricks. He really only has, said Rav Binyamin Finkel, two tricks. Two methods that the Yetzer Hara employs. That's it. You think your Yetzer Hara has many tactics and many ways and many wars. No, says Rabbi Binyamin Finkel. He only has two tricks, two methods. Here you go. When he sees someone has decided to learn a little more each day, we are all committed to learning more about enhancing Ashmir Shabbos and this Chabura. Kol HaKavod to all of you who call in, because it means we're all interested in becoming better. When he sees someone has decided to learn a little more each day, he sees someone has decided to work on improving a certain character trait. Tikkun amidos, you want to be a better person. You want to root out negativity. The Yetzer Hara always uses the same trick. Quote, says the Yetzer Hara, proverbially, says Rabbi Binyamin Finkel, what are you making yourself crazy about? You're still young. You have your whole life ahead of you. There's no need to get caught up with these things at your young age. Of course, these things are important. Of course, you must learn more. Of course, you must improve your character traits, your midos. But take care of it when you're older. Now enjoy life. Now you're young. Now you should live it up. Now you still have plenty of time left to deal with those things when you're older. This is the standard refrain of the Yetzer Hara. You have plenty of time. You don't have to do it now. You'll do it in the future. Then, one day, the two-trick pony suddenly changes. You decide at a certain age to embark on some course of improvement. You are sure enough, right on cue, the evil inclination, the Yetzer Hara, shows up. This time, however, the Yetzer Hara has a different message. This time he says, now you decide to work on improving your character traits? Now you're working on Tikkun Amidos? Now it's italicized. Now you decide to learn more Torah? Now you're going to go to another shir? Now you're going to start learning Daf or Amud Yomi? At your age? Don't be foolish. It's too late. It's humorous, but it's brilliant. You are too old to accomplish something like that. This, says Rabbi Binyamin Finkel, is his entire ploy. He spends the first half of your life telling you you're too young. You have plenty of time to change in the future. When you're older, you will accomplish. When you're older, you'll become serious. When you're older, you'll go to shul, you'll work on your mitzvos. Why rush? Everything in due time. Then one day, suddenly he changes. You're too old. You're too late to change. Nobody needs your service now. You're over the hill. And nobody, says Rabbi Yamin Finkel, knows exactly when this happens. When the switch from you're still young, you have plenty of time, to you're too old already. It's too late to begin working on such projects. No one can identify the tactic of exactly when the Yetzer Hara changes, but he does. And says Rabbi Yamin Finkel, that's his whole ploy. He's a two-trick pony. Besides the fact that here in our Sefer of Shimshon Pinkas Atzal is speaking about the Yetzer Hara, he knows he's about to be put out of commission. So this piece tells us what the Yetzer Hara's tactics really are. I think that it relates very strongly to Shabbos. And not Shabbos, I'm sorry. It relates strongly to Erev Shabbos. Why? Because in the morning, this never happened to you. It's happened to me. I was so organized Erev Shavuos. I was mamish so organized. I had done so much in advance. I thought I had so little to do. I don't know what happened. Erev Shavuos was a crazy day. I don't mean crazy. Chasram wasn't screaming at people. That's not what I meant. I mean, I was very hectic and rushed. But I was so organized in advance. How could that have happened? What does the HR say to you in the morning? Shabbos is at 8:10. I'm paraphrasing and applying with Benjamin Finkel's teaching, which is, by the way, brilliant just in terms of Avodah Seshram, something to keep in mind. So the next time the HR tells you, you don't have to run to Ashir, you don't have to say more to Hillam, you don't have to work on your Missy, you have plenty of time. Next year, next week, now you should enjoy. Don't listen to him. Remember, by next year, next week, he's going to tell you you're too old. Don't bother. And then when will we ever get around to self-improvement? In our Avodah Hashem. But I think even more specifically, this could be applied to Erev Shabbos, because in the morning, 6:30, it's 7, you have plenty of time. What's the rush to get ready for Shabbos? Shabbos is not till 4:10, even in the winter. It's 6:30, it's in so many hours. Never mind, in the summer, it's at 8:10. I have so much time. I don't know exactly what the 8:05, it doesn't matter. 8:10, 8:12, 8:05, 8 o'clock. Let's call it 8 o'clock. You have so much time. You did your cooking yesterday. You're so organized. You already went to Grandma God. Don't worry, you have so much time. You don't have to rush. Don't be so nervous about Shabbos. And then it's 4 o'clock, it's 5 o'clock, it's 6 o'clock. And now he says, listen, it's too late anyway to greet the Shabbos properly. You missed the boat. It's too late. So why even bother? You see how this teaching of Rabbi Benjamin Finkel can be so strongly applied to Erev Shabbos. Yes, he says this is the standard refrain from the Yetzer Hara in the first place. But what about applying it specifically to our Erev Yom Erev Shabbos, our Yom HaShishi, our work, our behavior. In the morning, you have plenty of time. And by the time evening comes, by the time late afternoon comes, now you don't have time anyway, so why bother? Unbelievable. Says Rav Shimshon Pinkas, going back inside the Sefer, page 25. We did the first paragraph already. So he says the HRs can be put of commission 24, 25, 26 hours on Shabbos, just like you, Vishavat, you have the cessation on Shabbos. So too, the Yetzer Hara has cessation on Shabbos. He also gets a day off. He works very hard the whole week. If anyone's entitled to a day off, it's the Yetzer Hara who works so hard the whole week. Maybe not yours, but mine. But this is our chance, says Rav Pinkas, to tap into the tremendous potential on Shabbos. Because, quote, if we were together, even if we're not together. I should have underlined this also in my own book. If it's your own book, you could underline. If it's not your own book, don't underline that. However we begin Shabbos is how it continues. Maybe that gives a hashkafic insight into the halachic principle of Masha Muksa be'erev Shabbos Muksa l'kolayu makulo. Interestingly, what is Muksa? What has not been set aside or designated on erev Shabbos for use on Shabbos is Muksa l'kolayu makulo. Masha Muksa be'erev Shabbos Muksa l'kolayu makulo. Whatever is Muksa on erev Shabbos is Muksa for the whole day of Shabbos. So perhaps hashkafically we have an insight into that halachic principle. If you begin Shabbos in a state where that thing is mukta, it's off limits because you didn't designate it for use on Shabbos, it wasn't ready for use on Shabbos, then it remains mukta for the whole day. So that perhaps hashkafically here is what Rav Shimshon Pinkas is saying. However we begin Shabbos is how it continues. So your state of mind spiritually on Erev Shabbos is very important for how your Shabbos will actually be. So when Rav Salvechuk says, so powerfully, True, there are Jews in America who observe the Shabbos, but the label Shomer Shabbos has come to be used as an honorific in our circles, just like Harav HaGaon is thrown around. Neither term really indicates anything. Both testify to the lowly state of our generation, because to be a Shomer Shabbos is not enough on Yom HaShvi, like the Orach Chaim teaches. Are we waiting, anticipating, ready? Says Rav Soloveitchik, it is not for Shabbos that my heart aches. It's for the forgotten Erev Shabbos. There may be Shabbos observing Jews in America, but where are the Erev Shabbos Jews? Where are those who go out to greet the Shabbos with beating hearts and pulsating souls? While we may observe the mitzvahs with our hands, our feet, our mouths, where are those who know the meaning of the service of the heart? This is our chance to tap into the tremendous potential of Shabbos, because however we begin Shabbos is how it continues. If it's designated before Shabbos for Shabbos, you could enjoy it on Shabbos. If it's not designated before Shabbos for Shabbos, you cannot enjoy it on Shabbos. Our mood on Erev Shabbos will carry through into Shabbos. That's a little bit of a frightening thought, because if the Yetzer Hara is working overtime in Erev Shabbos, and I'm not working overtime to combat my Yetzer Hara on Shabbos, then it's a little scary to think of our state of mind as we enter into Shabbos. Says of Shimshon Pinkas, so when Shabbos arrives, let us grab hold of HaKadosh Baruch Hu with all our strength. Hold on. But you have to make sure, not just when Shabbos arrives, before. How do we do this? Says of Shimshon Pinkas, all we have to do is believe it is Shabbos. And Shabbos is a special day. It's Hashem's day. It's Hashem's day. Just don't take your mind off Shabbos. You see that flower? It's the Kavod Shabbos. I think after it was 2 weeks ago. Shir only meets twice a month, Baruch Hashem. Not only. The Shir meets twice a month, Baruch Hashem. So 2 times ago, we spoke about flowers, the Kavod Shabbos Kodesh. So I hope if you had flowers coming home for Shavuos and Shabbos last week, they had an extra appreciation after our last Shir. You see that flower? Don't take your mind off Shabbos. Don't just say it's a beautiful flower. Say that flower is the Kavod Shabbos Kodesh. You have a glass of soda, a glass of water, a glass of wine, a glass of seltzer. Don't just say, I have wine, water, seltzer. Say, this is a Kavod Shabbos Kodesh. When you sit down for the meal, you're at the table of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's Hashem's meal. Hashem paid for it. He paid for it. He supplied you with it. He provided you with it. And he's the guest. You are his guest. He's your guest and you're his guest. And you should enjoy his company. It's interesting, he says, Hashem is, you are his guest. Because interestingly, your Soloveitchik in a totally different place distinguishes between Shabbos and the Mo'adim, the Shalosh Regalim. On the Shalosh Regalim, we go up to Hashem's house. Shalosh pa'amim b'shana yira'eh kol zuchurcha as p'nei ha'adon. B'makom eshar yivcha. Okay, b'chag ha'matzos, b'chag ha'shavuos, b'chag ha'sukos. So, 3 times a year, every male is required to go to Hashem's house. Rachman son today, m'pnei chata'inu galinu meratzinu. We don't have that. But on Shabbos, says Rav Soloveitchik, what's the difference? On Shabbos, Hashem comes to your house. And it's true. Think about it. You don't have a mitzvah to be odol regel. You don't have a mitzvah. I'm not talking about going to base knesses to daven tefillah b'tzibur. But on Shabbos, the kedusha is based around your home. So how we set the tone for kedusha impacts how the whole house will feel about Shabbos. That's also a scary thought. And on the Yom Tovim, we go to Hashem's house. So really, on Shabbos, Hashem is your guest. Bo'achem l'shalom, malachei sharis. Tzeischem means goodbye to the weekday angels. And bo'achem means welcome to the Shabbos angels, just like Yaakov Avinu in his famous dream. The malachei elokim were olim v'yardim bo. And Rashi tells us the malachim of Eretz Yisrael were going up, because he was going into Chutz Arts, and the malachim of Chutz Arts were coming down. So 1 second, Rivka, I'll address your comment in 1 minute. Let me just finish this thought. Yaakov Avinu, when he had his famous dream, okay, the malachim of Eretz Yisrael were going up because he's leaving Eretz Yisrael, Perichav Chasa Bereishis, and the malachim of Chutz La'aretz are coming down to accompany him into Eretz Yisrael. So he was never alone. He was never abandoned. He was always protected by the malachim of Hashem. So we have the same idea. We have malachim of the weekday who protect us, who watch over us. Hinei lo yanum v'lo yishon shomer Yisrael. Okay? But we also have Malachim of Shabbos. So Tzeischem L'Shalom, Malachim L'Shalom, goodbye to the weekday angels. Bo Acham L'Shalom, welcome to the Shabbos angels. So really, Hashem is our guest on Shabbos. And you have to make sure that you have prepared appropriately on Erev Shabbos, so that when the guest comes, you're not harried and frazzled and you didn't give in to the two-trick pony of the Yetzer. You have to make sure you're Shomer Shabbos based on the Aruch Chaim. Shomer Shabbos does not mean keeping Shabbos. Shomer Shabbos means anticipating, waiting, preparing properly, longing, being excited for Shabbos to come. That's exactly what Rav Soloveitchik says when he speaks about Erev Shabbos Jews. However, since Hashem is the source of all, I just want to reconcile this idea that Hashem is our guest, but we are His guest. Since Hashem is the source of all, it's His meal, He paid for it. He paid for the food, He gave you the koach to cook it, He gave you the chachma to know what spices to use, etc. You are His guest. So you have to enjoy His company, and we just doubt that Hashem should kaviyachal enjoy our company as well. We should be pleased with our home. So Rivka Fuchs said, when do we start saying L'kavod Shabbos Kodesh? I think I've heard it said Thursday night, so that makes a lot of sense, because in Yahadus and in our calendar, we count the day beginning the night before. Okay. The night before, after nightfall, after Shkiyas Hechaman with Tzeis HaKochavim, is really the next day. So therefore, for example, my niece was born on Tisha B'Av. I remember we were still fasting. She was born mamash like a minute before my sister-in-law went into the hospital on Tisha B'Av in the afternoon. We went over to watch the kids. My brother said, come over. I said, are you joking? I think it was probably the fasting that made her go into labor. Anyway, fine. We brought the kids home. So my niece was actually born as the fast was just departing. So on the English birthday, she was born on that day. But on the Jewish calendar, her birthday is not Tes Av. Her birthday is Yod Av. So Rivka, you're absolutely correct. The fact that you start saying it Thursday night makes a lot of sense. Vayehi Erev, Vayehi Boker, Yom HaShishi. When do we start counting? In the evening. And what we call in the secular calendar, Thursday evening. Once the sun sets and it's dark, it's not considered secular Thursday anymore. It is already Erev Shabbos. Okay, so that I hope answers the question, but you are correct. By Thursday night, what we call Thursday night, it's really already Erev Shabbos. Vayihi Erev, our day begins in the evening. Vayihi Boker, we continue our day into the morning, Yom HaShishi. Think about Shabbos all the time, says Rav Pinkas. Do not take your mind off it, even for a moment. I don't have a sefer in front of me, and you're sort of going to laugh, but it's a different source of Soloveitchik's commentary to Chumash, where he speaks about Birkas Kohanim, just like Zachar is Yom HaShabbos, says of Soloveitchik, is a constant remembrance of Shabbos through the whole week. So too, when it says Amor Lahem by the Kohanim, right? Daber al Aaron ve al banav leimor, kosu varchu es b'nei Yisrael, it's a... Bamidbar 6:23, Paragvav Pasuk Chav Gimel, Kol Sevaruch Es Bnei Yisrael, Amar Lahem, say to them. And Rashi says here, Amar Lahem, say to them, means that the Kohanim should bless us with a lev shalem, with a full heart. Not b'chipazon, not b'halus. They shouldn't bless us with a rushed state of franticness. When the Kohanim blesses, it has to be b'kavana, says Rashi, with kavana, with intention, u'b'lev shalem, and with a full heart. Rav Soloveitchik compares the phraseology, the terminology, the word amar lahem to zachor. Amar zachor, shamar. He says grammatically, it's the same construct. I'm not knowledgeable at all enough in diktuk, but this is what Rav Soloveitchik says. Amar zachor shamar. Just listen to the word. He says, when the Kohanim are commanded Amar Lahem, it means that their minds have to be constantly on the Bnei Yisrael during the time of blessing. That they have to constantly be Ba'ahava, says Rashi, Ba'kavana, Ba'lev Shalem. And Rav Soloveitchik compares the Amar Lahem, the instructions of the Kohanim, to the Zachor and the Shamar of Shabbos. So that makes perfect sense. Take Rashi's words. Amar Lahem means the Kohanim should not be Bebehilu, Bebehalus. They should not be Bechipazon. They shouldn't be rushed. They shouldn't be with haste. They shouldn't be with distraction. They should have a kavana and a lev shalem. That could be exactly applied to Shabbos. Soloveitchik says, Amar lahem, zachor, shamar. It's true about Shabbos. We shouldn't bring in Shabbos, you could say, Applying that Rashi, therefore, based on Rav Salavechik, who says the Amarlam is like the Zachar, the Shamar. So let's look at Rashi. Rashi says Amarlahem. You could apply Rashi to Shmir Shabbos as well. When you come to Shabbos, it shouldn't be b'chipazon. It shouldn't be b'bahalos. It shouldn't be rushed and frantic and lack of concentration and I'm flying all over the map. It should be b'kavana, with intention, u'b'lev shalem, and with a full heart, a constant state. And that's what Rav Shimshon Pinkus just said. Think about Shabbos, he says, bottom on page 25, all the time. Do not take your mind off it, even for a moment. And then he quotes a pasuk from Shir Shirim, Perek Gimel, pasuk Dalet. I found the one my soul loves. Actually, I looked it up. I have the Shir Shirim in front of you. I'm going to quote it for you. The Lashon HaKodesh is, okay, 3-4. Kim'at she'avarti mehem, at she'masasi, eis she'ahava nafshi. I almost passed by them, but then I found the one that my soul loves. Achaztiv, I grabbed onto him. V'lo arpenu, I will not loosen my hold. Listen to this, based on our discussion today about Shabbos. Okay, the lover says, okay, I'll begin in Perek Gimel Pasuk Aleph. I'm just going to read four psukim from Shir Shirim here. Al mishkavi balelos, bikashti eis she'ahava nafshi, on my bed at night. I sought out, I quested for the one that my soul loves. Bikashtiv, v'lo matzaziv. I sought him out, but I could not find him. Akumana, I will get up. V'asova v'ba'ir. It's a lover who is sick for her beloved and she can't find him. I'll get up and I'll circle through the city. Bashvakim, I will look in the shuk. U'birechovos, I'll look in the street. Avaksha, I will seek him out. Esha, ahava nafshi, the one that my soul loves. Bikashtiv. And I sought out in the shuk of the city, in the rechov of the city. I sought out the one that my soul loves. I can't find him. Matzauni hashomim hasovuvim ba'ir. You, the guards who circle the city, have you found my beloved? Esha ahava nafshi re'isem, the one that my soul loves. Have you by chance seen him? And this next pasuk is Paragimel pasuk Dalet, is a pasuk of Shimshon Pinkus quotes. So we have a lover lying in bed at night, and this lover can't sleep because they're seeking out the one that their soul loves. I'm seeking him out. I can't find him. So I get up and I circle the city. I go through the shuk. I go through the rechav. I look for my beloved. I seek him out. I can't find him. And I see the guards who do guard duty through the city. And I said, have you by chance seen my beloved? Have you by chance seen the one that my soul loves? Kim asha avarti mehem. I almost passed by them. Remember, he's talking to the guards. She is talking to the guards. Acha matzatzi. Until I found Ace Sha'ahava Nafshi. Would you believe it? I found the one that my soul loves. Achastiv. Grab onto him. When you are able to overcome the Yetzer Hara, when you go through the city streets and the Yetzer Hara sees your quest, you will not give up to find your beloved, to find the Ribon Shel Olam. Of course, this is all a metaphor for the love of Hashem and the people to each other. And you should look around and you should say to the guards who are guarding you against your Yetzer Hara, your own guards, put up your own dukes, work overtime to fight your Yetzer Hara. Have you seen my beloved? And I almost passed by. I almost let the Yetzer Hara win. But wait, Acha Matzati, until I found Ace Sha'ahava Nafshi. I found the one that my soul loves. Achaztiv, I grabbed onto. When you overcome, when you find your Bozom, hold on tight. V'lo arpenu, I will not loosen my hold. This is the pasuk with which Rav Shimshon Pinkus ends this chapter. I found the one my soul loves. Lashon HaKodesh is, Acha Matzati, Esha, Hava Nafshi. I took hold of him, Achaztiv. I won't let go, V'lo arpenu. But, by the way, the pasuk continues so perfectly, as we have been explaining Shir today. Ad until Shehe Vesiv El Beis Imi. Bring the beloved into your house. Grab onto him. Don't let go. And we spoke about Hashem coming to our house on Shabbos, to the mother's house, because the mother's the one who sets the tone. Ad Shehe Vesiv El Beis Imi. The lover specifically says, you know where I will bring my beloved? You know where I will hold on to him? I will not let go until I bring him to the house of my mother. The El Cheder Horasi, until I bring him to the chamber of she who conceived me, Harayon. So you see here this beautiful idea. It's interesting that Shimshon Pinkus quotes the this pasuk as the end to this chapter, after we have spoken as Hashem being a guest in our house. And that's exactly what the pasuk says. You're searching through the cities, and it's even balayla. Laila is a night. Laila, when the Yetzer Hara is even working even harder. Laila is when Galus is so dark, and you look and you search and you ask the guards, have you seen my beloved? And you almost leave until you find your beloved. Grab hold, don't let go. But not only that, the pasuk continues. The Rav Shimshon Pinkus does not quote the end of the pasuk. So it's always useful to look up the sources, let's say, for quotes. Until I brought him to the house of my mother, to the room of the one who conceived me. So this is the idea of bring the Ribbono Shel Olam into our homes. And of course, it's not an accent. The Rav Shimshon Pinkus would end the chapter with this pasuk, because don't let go. But further than that, says Shir Hashirim, bring him to the home of your mother, the home of the one who conceived you. I'm going to end by quoting a story. Let me just see something. Okay, I have a couple minutes, perfect, to finish this today's shir with a beautiful story. I'm quoting from a Pesach Krohn, Perspectives of the Maggid. Rabbi Dr. Philip Zimmerman was the founder of Frida Vitamins. In 1953, he was a chaplain in the United States Army and stationed in Georgia. One Friday night, a serviceman from New York came in, and he said, chaplain, to Rabbi Dr. Philip Zimmerman, 1953, I need help. I have three letters. The first letter I have here says I'm supposed to be transferred to Korea on Sunday morning. The second and third letters are from my parents' cardiologist. My parents and I went through the Holocaust. I am their only child. This was only in 53, okay? Less than 10 years after the Shoah ended. If they find that I was transferred to Korea, they will die from the trauma of it, the cardiologist writes in this letter. He showed the chaplain the letters. Please, said the soldier, please try to help me. Rabbi Zimmerman had no idea how he could help the young man. He was a chaplain. They had very little say in army matters, but he did not let that stop him. The next morning, which was Shabbos, Rabbi Dr. Philip Zimmerman walked 6 miles to the military commander on the base. Chaplain, what are you doing here so early? The commander asked. I need a favor. A serviceman came to me last night. He told me he's supposed to be transferred to Korea, but his parents are Holocaust survivors. They are so frail, they will literally die of fear if he's transferred. I even have letters from cardiologists attesting to this. The commander snapped angrily. What are you talking about? The United States is at war. He did not even look at the letters. Then he grabbed the lapel of the chaplain's jacket. This is very interesting. Maybe some of you know this. The official jacket of the chaplaincy had the Aseres HaDibros. The Ten, obviously not as the Aseres HaDibros, the chaplaincy official jacket had the Ten Commandments on its lapel. He grabbed by Dr. Zimmerman's lapel and he said, you see your tablets on your lapel, on your jacket? Those tablets were made of stone. They're made of stone because stone cannot be broken. While my laws are like stone, they can't be broken. There are no exceptions, no transfers. The chaplain felt terrible. It was obviously there was nothing that he could do, and the serviceman was going to be transferred to Korea on Sunday morning. The chaplain turned around and left. He hadn't gone far outside when all of a sudden the military commander called out, chaplain, where's your jeep? I have no jeep, sir. What do you mean you have no jeep? How did you get here? I walked, sir. Chaplain, you walked 6 miles from your camp to here? Yes, sir. Chaplain, how are you getting back? I'm going to walk back 6 miles. Chaplain, why didn't you take a jeep or have someone drive you? Sir, today is my Sabbath. I do not drive in a car and I cannot be driven in a car. You walked 6 miles for that serviceman and you're going to walk another 6? Yes, sir. The commander said, come back into my office. They went back into the office. The commander looked over the letters. He picked up the phone. He called the second in command, and Mama's quoting from the story. He ordered that the serviceman be transferred to Governor's Island in New York with a direct command and explicit instructions that the serviceman had to visit his parents every night. And the commander saw echad, that we are all one. When he saw the concern, consideration, what finishes Rabbi Pesach Krohn, and connection one Jew has for another, he was so inspired that he changed his original command. But I think it's something else also. I mean, I don't know. I wasn't there, with great respect to Rabbi Pesach Krohn, who is obviously a gadol and who has influenced so many. He also saw a certain respect for Shabbos. He saw a reverence for Shomer Shabbos, an awe for Shabbos, an appreciation of the fact that today we are with Hashem. We're not in a jeep. We're not with anyone else. Today is a day for us and the Ribbono Shel Olam. And when you find your lover, grab hold. Don't let go. Bring them to the home of your mother. Sit with your lover at the table and celebrate Shabbos together. What is muktzah on Erev Shabbos, what is forbidden, what is not prepared, is forbidden the whole day. Your mood on Erev Shabbos, I shouldn't say you, my mood on Erev Shabbos, my preparation, my behavior, influences my whole Shabbos. Says Rav Soloveitchik, I don't long for Shabbos Jews, I long for Erev Shabbos Jews. Remember the two-trick pony of the Yetzer Hara, says Rav Binyamin Finkel. First, you have all the time in the world. That's Friday morning. And then, all of a sudden, you have no time. That is Yom HaShishi in the afternoon. This year should be an Alina Shema for David Ben Zalman, Chaya Bas Moshe Shimon, Mindel Bas Yochanan, as well as Chus Refuah for Hatinok David Mordechai, Ben Bela Rivka Besoch Shar Chalei. So I thank you all for learning with me. We shall have a wonderful Shabbos, an uplifting, Kedusha-filled Erev Shabbos. Thank you so much. And also, we should have a week, a Besoros Tovos V'Yeshuas for all of Kal Yisrael. Kol Tov, everybody. Thank you so much.